Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here today, if I can use the technology effectively, and I'll try to keep in my time allotment. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about risk management in the cotton industry. Certainly, there are a lot of changes taking place. There are a lot of issues out here, and the risk management challenges for agricultural producers are not getting simpler, but more complex. We all know risk when we see it. Okay? But the thing that in graduate school I decided I wanted to work on risk because it struck me, and I still believe it to be true, that risk is one of the defining characteristics of agriculture. It's also one of the areas that makes agriculture unique relative to a lot of other industries. We know the nature of commodity prices, the uncertainty that's associated with those. They don't function the same way as the price of a car would function, for example. We know that we have yield risk. In the aggregate, the data that we just saw was at a highly aggregated level. It's accentuated if we go down to the farm level. We know that agricultural production takes a lot of capital investment. We also know, as we have farm policy debates, and I want to talk about policy quite a bit today, risk is a prime motivating factor in those discussions, okay? Whether we're talking about the loan program, the countercyclical payments, or crop insurance. And what I would like to do today is to talk to you about some of these instruments, some of these tools, but I always want to come back and put them in a broader, more farm-level, producer-oriented context. When we look at risk management tools, and I found this on the web the other day, it struck me as appropriate. And we're going to talk about some of the exogenous factors that can create risks in markets in the next presentation. But I really want to focus on what we can do to harm ourselves sometimes. And I don't think that we're going to change the fact that when we look at risk management, we should never stop considering things like savings and borrowing, off-farm income and investments, diversification, are strategies that good managers are going to use. I was struck the other day when I was out on a farm that the best risk management is still good management in the day-to-day practices. Okay, futures and options are a fascinating context. We're going to talk about that later. But certainly, the rest of the world has caught on to the idea that we have known for decades and decades that these kind of instruments offered by the private sector should provide useful risk management tools for us. We look at our government programs, and I list a few here. But at the end of the day, if you choose to use these instruments incorrectly, you're going to hurt yourself. Okay? You can do as much damage with these tools as you can do good. And unfortunately, the challenges of being a risk manager in agriculture is not getting simpler. And the fact is, as we develop more and more sophisticated and useful tools, there are just going to be more and more ways that we can screw it up and hurt ourselves with them as well. And that's a reality that I think we can only mitigate by becoming smart managers of risk. I want to talk about policy a little bit today, and let me throw out something to you that fascinates me as a student of farm policy. And going back to the 1980s, even further than I've listed on this slide, we have historically in the United States talked about farm risk management policy in two different conversations that very rarely ever intersected. We wrote farm bills, and farm bills dealt with price risk. We occasionally wrote crop insurance legislation, and it dealt with yield risk. Those conversations were never held simultaneously, and there was very little thought about the other side of that equation when those pieces of legislation were written. Then we would do ad hoc disaster payments on a regular basis to deal with yield risk as well. Okay, that's the history. I think what we have seen in recent years, and I don't know that it's going to continue, but if we look at the most recent farm bill and the dialogue of where we're headed, is that in the mid-1990s, revenue insurance began to dominate yield insurance. We wrote a farm bill where the big new thing in the farm bill that even which is going to be very interesting to see because it wasn't widely adopted yet, is revenue protection in the commodity title. These programs are running into each other. We now have the commodity programs were for revenue protection, and the crop insurance program is doing revenue protection, and this is going to be the interesting dialogue and policy in the future. The other thing that I would mention to you, because I think a lot of us, this surprised me when I first began seeing this data, is that the magnitude of government payments associated with crop insurance have in recent years exceeded those for the commodity program. Now, recognize that a lot of those payments are going to the delivery mechanism through the crop insurance companies, but as somebody put it at a meeting that I was at in Washington, D.C., we had direct payments, crop insurance, and pocket change at that time in terms of what CBO was projecting. So, again, this is a change from where we were ever at if you go back just to 2000 and you look at the magnitude of commodity programs versus crop insurance payments. One of the things in terms of government expenditure, when prices go up, it makes the crop insurance program cost more, it makes the commodity program cost less. I also want to contrast some of the work that I've done in recent years with Robert Dismukes at ERS is taking a look at doing a lot of analysis on a county-by-county basis throughout the country for corn, soybeans, wheat, and cotton. I want to focus on the bottom line here, and what you see is that if you look at the level of risk in cotton at the farm level or the county level, we see that cotton in general is a riskier industry than corn and soybeans. When we have a policy debate that you have the Midwest interest versus the cotton industry, cotton belt interests, I think this is a thing that you need to understand. You also need to understand, and this is a bit difficult, what I am showing is the correlation between price and yield in the cotton industry by a county-by-county basis versus corn. The bottom line is that very dark area in the center of Illinois is a very negative correlation between yields and price. You don't see anything equivalent to that in the cotton industry. I put that up there because I think that explains why there was such an interest in revenue-type programs coming out of the Midwest during the last Farm Bill debate. That's the nature of the world that they live in. When it rains in central Illinois, they think the futures market reacts. When it rains in Lubbock, Texas, you don't know what to do. Okay? It's a different scenario. But it doesn't move the prices the way the Chinese will move your prices. Very different industry. Let me talk about crop insurance for just a few moments, give you a little bit of data. Here is a diagram that shows data for cotton, corn, and soybeans. If I were to separate out cotton, it would look substantially similar. This is the loss ratio for these three crops back to 1980 through 2008. A loss ratio of 1 means that the total premium, not the producer paid premium, and the indemnity are equal in that given year. If the loss ratio is high, the program paid out more than it took in premium. If it is below 1, the producers paid more in premium than they collected in indemnities. What we see is that there is essentially I draw the break point at 1995. We had crop insurance legislation in 94. We look, the world has changed. What we don't know is this a change in participation? Because we now, and I'm going to show you in a moment that we've got a lot more people in the program than we had. Is it a change in the nature of the risk? Have we become more or less risky? Is it a change in the rates? What is it that has changed these things? All of these things have been changing. It's difficult to sort that out. And I think it's one of the things that we need to understand. But it's going to relate to some slides that I'm going to show you in a moment. Obviously, we see the program participation has jumped up, especially since 2000. And I'll break this out for cotton for you in just a moment. Okay, these maps, I'm going to show you a few maps here just on a county-by-county basis. This is the percent of the crop insurance acreage in a county that is insured with catastrophic coverage crop insurance. One of the things that I will point out to you is when I have looked at cotton crop insurance in the past, we find very, very different stories as we look at different parts of the cotton belt. What you see is in the Mid-South, we have an awful lot of cat participation. People are not buying up on crop insurance. We see that also in a lot of the Western states. We see a much less of it in other regions. Now, if we look at the people who are taking limited buy-up, this is in many instances the 5100 coverage, we see where it's concentrated, and it's in the southern high plains. Very different form of participation there. When we look at the percent of counties that are, the percent of the acres in a county that are insured at above the 65% coverage level, you can see the map there where it's high in the southeast region and some other locations. You can look for your own location on that map. Here I show the revenue insurance participation relative to the total participation. So what's not revenue insurance is yield insurance in these scenarios. You can see where we have more than 75% coverage revenue insurance in the program versus yield insurance. And again, that's the setup of some comments that I'm going to make in just a moment. What I do want to point out to you, this is a little bit different. This is from 1990 through 2008. Here I compared the indemnities that were paid out to the actual producer paid premium on a county by county basis. If a county is red, the producers in that county have paid more in premium than they have collected in indemnities. Now, given the subsidy levels, you would normally expect that the program should have paid out more than the producers have paid in. We have a few counties, but not a lot, that are red. We see several counties in yellow where the payout has been less than $18 per acre over the entire time period. The aqua color is 18 to 36, and those that are green have received more than $36 per acre over that time period. Crop insurance is not a big transfer payment to producers of cotton. Those amounts are in most instances not particularly large when you're looking at a period as long as that one. Now, one other comment about the crop insurance system that I want to discuss with you. I've looked at their rating system a lot of times in the past, and there's a point of clarification that I think is very useful. One is the yield rates are driven by the loss experience for cotton in that county. There's some smoothing across adjoining counties. They spread the worst losses across all experience in the state. But there is no relationship between the rate that you would pay on a cotton crop insurance policy in Bolivar County, Mississippi, and what you would pay on a corn insurance policy in Champaign County, Illinois. A lot of people don't understand that, especially the folks in Champaign County, Illinois, who claim that they're subsidizing your cotton payouts. That link really does not exist, okay? The revenue insurance rates are tied to the yield rates, and they add a price risk that is derived from the futures price volatility. And one thing that I would suggest to producers, and if you work with producers, I would suggest, is to take a look at the new enterprise unit subsidy levels with cotton and the other crops. We now have 65% coverage basic or optional subsidy at 59%. If you go to the enterprise unit where you lump units together, you'd like to have them broken out, but it can make a real difference in the cost of that program. Just a few comments about the SURE disaster program that came out of the Farm Bill. This is another revenue type design, and it goes a step beyond where we've been before in that it is whole farm. It's a standing program argued to eliminate ad hoc disaster. I doubt it. and I'll tell you why in just a moment. It's not crop specific. It's the most complicated farm program, in my opinion, that we've ever invented. I thought acre was complicated, and then we built SURE that surrounds acre as well. Okay, it wraps around all our other programs, crop insurance, the countercyclical, and so forth. I've got a diagram, but I cut it out. But it makes healthcare reform look simple. It's going to be slow to pay out because you have to let all these other programs be calculated before you can calculate it. It is not going to pay out very much to a well-diversified farm. Some people have asked us to take a look at whether it's going to induce changes in crop insurance participation because it is driven by crop insurance participation coverage levels. We find that in this region, it's not going to change much. And my prediction, I will stick my neck out and say, it's not going to stop ad hoc. And it's not going to be found to be a particularly useful risk management instrument unless you are basically raising one row crop commodity. If all you raised was wheat, maybe it would be a good tool for you. Now, let me wrap up by putting a few pieces together. I think for producers and academics both, we tend to compartmentalize the way we think about all these tools. We think about our finances at one point, we think about farm management at one point, we think about government programs at another point, we think about futures and options at another time, and we don't think about the interrelationship between those things. It's difficult to think about them, but it is imperative in terms from a risk management standpoint to do so. Okay? I think one of the things that we've got to keep in mind is that if you're a risk manager for a farming operation, what are you really trying to do? Are you trying to manage the revenue on one field, or are you trying to manage the revenue risk for the family? The other thing that you have to ask yourself is how much risk can you tolerate? You're not going to eliminate all the risks that you're exposed to. I think you have to answer that question. The other thing, and this goes back to the not shooting yourself in the foot, one of the things that troubles me most that I see in our industry is that at times we find ourselves speculating in the name of risk management. That's the self-inflicted wound, okay? I think one of the key things that we have to look at in the policy environment that we're in is that if you've got a producer looking at crop revenue insurance, you've also got LDP and countercyclical payment, and you've got SURE, what should be your optimal hedging position? How many times do you want to cover your price risk? Okay, how many times should you cover your price risk? Because you've got a piece of it in your revenue insurance, you've got a piece of it in your farm program, you've got a piece of it in SURE, you've got a piece of it in hedging. It makes it terribly difficult to figure out what you should do. But at least you need to be cognizant that those things overlap with each other. This is a diagram, and I won't take but a moment to explain it, but bottom line, some research that I did a few years ago looking at a southern delta of Mississippi representative farm, where how much of your crop should you hedge given you have different kinds of insurance, yield insurance, the standard revenue insurance policy, or the revenue insurance with the upside price protection. And the answer is that you don't hedge the same amount. These things interact. And without going into a lot of details in the time that I have, I want to leave you with the message that you need to think about the fact that these things are interrelated. Some of the most dangerous strategies that I've heard about used in the industry is when people start taking strategies that don't recognize that they have multiple forms of risk protection going on at once. Final thoughts. Think about risk management at the farm or the family level rather than at the field level. It starts at the field level, but at the end of the day, what you can stand is at the farm level. Risk management tools can be dangerous, or they can be great assets in your management system. The crop insurance experience and participation varies a lot across the Cotton Belt. It's much different than it is for the rest of the country, and it differs even within the Cotton Belt. And as I've already said, the interaction between insurance, commodity programs, and pricing tools and financial management is difficult. I don't have an easy, quick answer for you on how to do this, but at the very least, think about these things before you act. Thank you.